So turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're coming to the end of our study in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll start reading in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Remember these last few chapters in Ephesians, the last half of Ephesians, Paul is trying to get the church to apply the doctrine that he's taught them in the first three chapters, and he's been talking to them about how their walk and their talk can line up together. And in verse 10 he says in chapter 6, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this time together. We thank you for the privilege we have to come around your word. We thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon us each and every single day. Father, we understand that we as Christians are in a constant battle. We understand, Lord, that we need to be prepared for that battle. We understand, Lord, that you have given us the equipment that we need for that battle. And Father, we just pray that you would help us for each and every battle that we face here today, Lord. We pray that as we stand fast in the day and age in which we live, Father, we pray that all that we do would give you glory and honor and praise. Father, whatever battle somebody might be facing here today, Father, I pray that they would understand that each and every piece of equipment, every piece of armor that you've given them will enable them to stand, to withstand and to battle whatever it is they're facing. And Father, I'm thankful that you've given us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ already. Father, we just pray that you would again help us this day, and we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. So we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So far, we've looked at our energy, and we've seen that our energy is from the Lord. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." We can't face, or we can't fight these battles in our own strength. We also understood our enemy. We are to stand against the wiles of the devil. We are to stand firm, the military sense of holding fast a position. We are to stand against the wiles of the devil, the methods of the devil, and all that he tries to do in convincing us to sin, in tempting us to do things we ought not to do. And we need to understand that he is a very real enemy. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then last week we started looking at our equipment. We saw that we need to have our loins girt about with truth. And we looked at, if you like, the belt of truth. And we saw how the loins had to be girt, they had to be prepared. The outer garment was tucked up into the belt so that the soldier would not trip up in the day of battle. We saw how the belt actually held the breastplate in place. So the belt of truth, God's truth, helps us to not trip up and keeps everything together. Why do you think the devil attacks God's truth so much? Why is it that people are told the truth is just relative? Well, no, God's word is yea, yea, and his nay is nay, and his word is truth. We are to have our loins girt about with truth. We ought not to slip and slide and be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. And we also saw last week how the Roman belt had an insignia on it that identified him, even if he didn't have his armour on, it would identify him as a Roman soldier. God's truth identifies us as a child of God. We then looked at the breastplate, and we saw the breastplate of righteousness, and we looked at positional righteousness, our standing with God, that we are saved, that Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin for us, that the righteousness, the Christ's righteousness as a result of his death upon the cross, and our acceptance of him as Savior is imputed to our account. That's our positional righteousness. We have a right standing before God, but then there was a practical righteousness. How we had to live our lives every single day. Aaron and I were talking about this week, about how dangerous, you might find this strange, how dangerous the doctrine of eternal security is. And I say that in this sense. It gives the Christian almost a free license to sin, because God has to forgive me anyway. Well, the Lord said, you reap what you sow. If you live a sinful life, that sin will catch up. That sin will have a consequence. It might not catch up with you in this life, but you will stand before the bema seat of Christ and give an account of your life as a Christian. So one way or another, that sin will catch up. The breastplate protected the most vital part of the Roman soldier. It protected the heart, and God's righteousness protects our heart. Remember, Satan can't indwell our hearts, but if he can affect our mind, he can certainly cause us to do things we ought not to do. And the breastplate protects our heart, our positional righteousness and our practical righteousness. And then in verse 14, Paul talks about having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, I've always heard people say this, this means that we should take the gospel to people. And that's right, we should. We've been given the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And whilst you can have that application here, I don't think that is the primary reason that Paul is talking about having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. In the Roman army, a soldier's shoes were important. You have to have the right kind of shoes. And that's been quite evident to me over these last few days. If you've got the wrong type of shoes on and you go for any kind of lengthy walk, your feet are going to blister. And guess what? That's going to make the walk uncomfortable. You're not going to enjoy that walk. Your mind is going to be taken off what you're meant to be looking at. You're going to be concentrating on the blisters on your feet. You've got to have the right kind of shoes, Jubilee. You've got to have the right kind of shoes. And if you've got the wrong kind of shoes on in our armour, if you like, we're not going to enjoy the walk. But God has given us these shoes for a purpose. Having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. If a Roman's feet were blistered or cut or swollen, he couldn't march. He couldn't fight well. He couldn't advance as rapidly as he was meant to. The feet would have been prone to infection. Great care was used to protect the feet. They marched great distances, sometimes 25 miles in a day. The sandals of a Roman soldier were studded with bits of metal or spikes to give traction for climbing, for fighting. The victories of Alexander the Great and Julius Caesar were due to the armies making long marches, advancing rapidly over rough terrain, and they could do that because of the type of footwear that they had. As soldiers of Christ, our feet are to be shod, securely tied with the preparation of the gospel. The word preparation there means readiness, to be established on a firm foundation, having a firm footing. You see, what tends to happen as a Christian, we take a stand and we believe that we've taken a stand, and then something will catch us unawares and we haven't got that firm footing that we ought to have. But Christ has provided us Remember now, once you are saved, you receive this armor once and for all. But as a Christian, it's up to us to take up that armor, to use it. And sometimes we forget that we've got the footwear that we actually need to take a stand in the battles that come our way. The reason that those feet were, or those shoes were spiked, was so that a Roman soldier could stand, that he wouldn't slip when it came to the most important part of the battle. The gospel of Christ gives the Christian confidence. It gives us stability in situations that are slippery, that are rugged, that are dangerous. Yes, I understand that we do take the gospel into difficult areas. There are people risking their lives all around this world, preaching the gospel in parts of countries that would frighten the living daylights out of us if we knew exactly what was going on there. And the reason they can do that is because they've got their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. They've got the right kind of footwear on. Having our feet shod with the proper shoes speaks of that sure footing. The word preparation carries the idea of being prepared, being ready. The soldier properly shod is ready to engage in battle on a moment's notice. The soldier is able to stand in slippery places, is able to endure long marches, is able to walk over objects that otherwise would damage his feet. The gospel of peace always prepares the believer to go into battle with the right attitude. You know, having the right... My brother-in-law says this all the time. Oh, there's no such thing as getting wet. You've just got on the wrong type of clothing. And we've been given the right type of clothing. I wouldn't dream of trying to go for a run in flip-flops, or, you know, try to... You can have the wrong type of picture now, but I wouldn't try and play football in stilettos. But you understand what I'm saying? You've got certain type of footwear for certain type of activities. But the thing is that the Roman soldier had to always be prepared for battle. And we have to have the right attitude when it comes to the battle. The peace that we have in Christ is a peace that was secured by his death upon the cross. Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. Because we are saved, because of our positional righteousness with God, because we are secure, because we have that support in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we can engage in whatever spiritual warfare that comes our way with the peace in our heart to know that we are properly prepared. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. How many times does a battle come our way and we spend the majority of our time worrying about things rather than giving it to the Lord? You know, we make the battle 10 times worse because of our imagination. And we've got such a vivid imagination. And because of that vivid imagination, sometimes the devil doesn't have to do very much at all, does he? One little whisper and then our flesh does the rest. But we've got the peace of God that passes all understanding. Feet that are prepared with the gospel remind us of the importance of walking with God. When I think of Enoch walked with God and Noah walked with God, and I just think of the fellowship that they had with the Lord. But guess what? We have got so much more than they had. What do I mean by that? Well, they didn't have the word of God. They didn't have the fact that Calvary had already taken place. And we've got so much more of the word of God. We know what Christ has done upon the cross of Calvary. And as a result, our walk with the Lord should be a lot closer than so many characters of the Old Testament. And yet, sometimes our walk is lacking in so many areas. We ought to want to walk with God. We should prepare ourselves each and every day by spending time with the Lord who saved us. Micah 6:8 says, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. Are we walking with the Lord on a daily basis? What importance are we placing in walking with the Lord? You know, I don't care how many times I say it, and I don't care if it offends people. When church is open, you ought to be in church. That's a demonstration of you walking with the Lord. If we take our attitude towards Bible reading lightly, then we're showing what our attitude is with our walk with the Lord. If we take our prayer time with the Lord lightly, that shows our attitude in our walk with the Lord. Are we walking with the Lord? It's amazing how lightly we take a lot of areas of our walk with Him, and then we expect Him to bless us at all times. Are we walking with the Lord? Are we as close to the Lord as we ought to be? Prepared feet also remind us about the fact, as Paul said many times, we're in a race. My brother, I think he did every sport in school, and he had all the gear. I'm not going to say he had all the gear and no idea. He was quite good, actually. And I remember I used to like playing with his running shoes because they were really cool. Because his rugby boots, they had studs all over the bottom, but his running shoes had spikes. And they were really, really light. I won't say what I used to do with them, but anyway. And they were designed for sprinting. You couldn't play rugby in those running shoes because they'd be no good. They were too light, but they were designed specifically for racing, so that the spikes were at the front, so that they would, you know, it would push the feet up onto the toes, so you got that power through the legs. They were designed specifically for the race that he would run. And they were so light. And they were light for a purpose. He couldn't have run that race in rugby boots because rugby boots are quite heavy. And you know, oftentimes we forget the fact that we are in a race and that God has given us the shoes that we need for that race. And in the same manner as Christians, we don't want sin in our lives weighing us down. Hebrews 12:1 saying, Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We ought to be ready to take a stand. That's what the shoes were designed for, so that the soldier wouldn't slip in the battle. We ought to be ready to take a stand. We ought to be ready to walk. The shoes were, you know, were designed for walking. They could walk great marches. We ought to be prepared to walk with the Lord. The shoes were designed to run. You think about it, if the army could march quickly, then they were a great force to be reckoned with. Reminds us that we're in a race for the Lord. But feet prepared with the gospel reminds us the importance of just being ready again to share that gospel. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you for a reason of a hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Each and every one of us has a duty to share the gospel with somebody. You say, I don't know what to say. We've said time and time again, tell them how you were saved. Because you can't get saved unless you've accepted the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. How you got saved is a presentation of the gospel. Tell somebody how you got saved. Christ said, preach the gospel to every creature. Herald it. Make it known. Isaiah 52:7 says, How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bring good tidings, that publisheth peace, and bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Are we prepared to share the gospel Are we prepared to take a stand in the day and age in which we live? You know, it was so much counteracts what the scripture says. It's sad to see so many people being led astray from the Word of God to believe a whole host of things that are being taught today. And it's all got to come back to the Word. Line it up against the Word. What does the Word say? What does the Scripture say? What does God say about a matter? It doesn't matter what everybody else says. What does God's Word say? And then we have the shield. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now in Paul's day, the Romans used several different types of shield. They used a small round shield, which was about 2 foot in diameter. It would be secured by the arm by two leather straps. And that would deflect the sword, often used in close combat. But the shield we're probably more familiar with was a large shield called a thurios. It comes from the word thyra, which means a door. And this is the shield that Paul is talking about here. About 2.5 foot wide, 4.5 foot high. And it would protect the whole body. It's made of solid wood, covered with a metal or a heavily oiled leather. And before they went into battle, the soldiers would always soak those shields in water. Why? To quench any fiery arrows that would hit them. At the siege of Dyrrhachium, Siva counted 220 arrows in his shield. Now these shields would be locked together and they would form quite a formidable sight. The army would stand side by side and each shield would lock into place, and then those stood behind them would put their shield up, and they would form quite a formidable foe. Can you imagine if each and every Christian was on the same page? That all of our shields were locked together? And that we were all stood on the same page, all using the same shield, all fighting the same battle. Can you imagine the type of force that we would be? Which is why the devil has got so many denominations and so many Bible versions and so many. Why? Because Christians are scattered all over the place. We're using different types of shields and different shapes of shields, and we're using a whole host of different things, and we're not any kind of force against those principalities and powers. Because we're not together. What a reminder to us that God's people should be united in battle against that common enemy. The belt, the breastplate, the shoes are for long-range protection and preparation. They were never to be taken off on the battlefield. The shield, the helmet, and the sword were to be kept in readiness for use when the fighting began. Paul said that we had to take up the shield. The word taking is from analambio, which means to raise up or to take up something in order to use it. We had to make use of the shield that God has given us for our protection. If anyone should have faith in the Lord, it should be us. As Christians. The amount of times that I've heard a Christian say, I wish I had your faith. Now that's not to say that, you know, I'm nothing special. But I've heard people say, oh, I wish I had your faith. I wish I had faith like they did. I wish I had. As a Christian. It boggles the mind. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We increase in faith the more that we read God's Word. If anyone should have faith, especially faith in the Lord, it should be us as believers who've already placed our faith and trust in Him. Again, the Roman shield identified the soldier, identified the unit that he belonged to. It was decorated with various designs, animals or insignias. And our shield of faith identifies us to whom we belong. We are his. We belong to him, and our faith in him ought to identify us to those around and about us. When we use scripture to defend ourselves in trials or when we're attacked, we're revealing the fact that our faith, trust, and hope is all in him. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." James said, "If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." Our faith in the Lord is our shield. Why is it, do you think, that the world tries to convince us that Christ was nothing more than a good teacher, nothing more than one of many prophets, nothing more than a misunderstood good person? We said this Wednesday night, you know, when you're dealing with any kind of false religion or a cult, ask the question, what think ye of Christ? And if someone is off on Christ, they're off. Our faith is in him. Our faith in the Lord is our shield. It's vital for a victorious Christian life. When our beliefs in God's truth are questioned or attacked, we rest in faith in the truth of his word. We know it can't be changed or challenged because God's word are his promises. There's a story in the former communist East Germany. A 15-year-old Wilfried Gotter was summoned to appear in a closed room before the authorities. School leaders, local government officials and communist party functionaries were there. Would he or would he not join the communist youth organizations? Would he or would he not join the communist army? The young man was in the tightest spot of his life because he was a dedicated Christian who wanted nothing to do with the godlessness of communism. He later recalled to sit there as a youngster and defend yourself against five men sitting opposite of you who tried to overwhelm you and intimidate you was not easy. My heart was pounding. At first, Wilfried appeared frightened and unsure of what to say, but as he silently prayed, the Lord spoke to his heart, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Wilfried quoted this verse in his defense, and he was surprised to see how disarming the effect was on the council of men. The men interrogating him had age, rank, and numbers on their side, yet this simple retort from a Christian teenager left them stumped. The interview halted, sputtered to an end, and they decided to let him go. They made no more attempts to change his mind. Wilfried said, "In that moment, I really experienced what it says in the Bible, that when you're led before the authorities, you shouldn't be concerned about what you will say. It was really a gift from God to have such words in such situations. It wasn't due to my quick-wittedness or anything. I was just 15. God's word became a shield. You ever had that where you're talking to somebody and suddenly somebody comes across as a bit of an intellectual and they say something and just for that moment perhaps you were taken aback and you don't really know how to respond? You just need to turn to God's word. Stand fast upon God's word. Have faith in God's word. Either we believe this book or we don't. Either we stand fast on the word of God or we don't. The Lord has everything under control. He's not surprised by anything. He's not taken aback by anything. He's not caught unaware. He's not caught off guard. He knows what's going on. God sometimes uses our problems, uses our battles to draw us closer to him. I wonder how many times in a battle as a soldier, being drawn closer to his commanding officer because his commanding officer was somebody who could really get behind. Adversity will test our faith. How strong is our faith? What would it take for somebody to plant a seed of doubt in your mind? Could they plant a seed of doubt about the virgin birth? Could they plant a seed of doubt about Christ's sinless life? Could they plant a seed of doubt about the fact that he was actually crucified upon the cross? Could they plant a seed of doubt about the fact that he was buried and 3 days later rose again? Could they plant a seed of doubt to say that he's not really God, that he wasn't incarnate in the flesh, that he's not any kind of deity, that he's just a brother of Lucifer or Michael the Archangel? Could anybody plant a seed of doubt about who Christ is? Or do we have enough faith to say, well, the Bible says, it doesn't mean I have to understand it. It just means I got faith in it. I'm sure the Roman soldier didn't have to understand the engineering behind his shield. He didn't have to fully understand exactly how it worked. He just knew from experience that if he dipped it in water and the way in which it was made up, that every time a fiery dart was fired against him, the dart was quenched. And guess what? The more darts that were fired, or the more arrows that were fired at his shield, and the more his shield protected him from those arrows, and the more those arrows were quenched, the more he had faith in the fact that his shield worked. You ever wondered why perhaps we're facing these battles for a reason? We're facing these battles because the Lord is increasing our faith in him, increasing our reliance upon him. God uses our problems to help our faith mature. God uses our problems to help us grow. God uses our problems to help our dependence and reliance upon him. Because guess what? There are things that come in our life that we do not understand. But we don't trust the things in our life. We trust him. Our faith gives us hope. Our faith is a shield as we go through the troubles in our life. 1 Peter 1:6 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, yet in heaviness, through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. James said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Our faith in Christ, our faith in his word, quenches any dart that Satan fires at us. We've seen that with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every dart that Satan fired at the Lord Jesus Christ, he said time and time again, it is written. What was he saying? I've got faith in God's word. This is what God's word says. Satan said one thing, Christ said, God said this. But do we have faith in the word of God? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Fiery darts in Paul's days were arrows that were wrapped on the tips with cloth that had been soaked in pitch or oil. They would be ignited and then launched by the archers. When its sword and finally landed, it would splatter and inflame anything that was around it that it had hit. The large shields were the best source of protection. Every single day, we are assailed by Satan's fiery darts. Every day. Turn on the TV today and I can guarantee you at some point or another, there'll be a fiery dart aimed at your belief in God. Every day there are arrows of doubt or arrows of temptation. The fiery darts of temptation when it comes to immorality or hatred or envy or covetousness or fear or despair or distress or doubt or pride or every other conceivable sin that Satan wants us to commit. Because guess what? If he can cause us to commit those sins, he can cause doubt in other people's minds that God exists. So I'm sick and tired of hearing of things happening in other churches by Christians and the lost people. We were talking to somebody last week, and they reveled in it. A lost person reveled in it. Ah, well, they used to go to church, but now they're doing this. And you could see the glee in their eyes. You could see the joy of the fact that a Christian had fallen and was now living a life that was even more sinful than this lost person was living. The fiery darts of temptation have the potential to inflict great damage on our lives. Use your shield. Above all, taking the shield of faith. If Satan can get us to doubt God's word, then he can get us to doubt God himself. That's what he said to Eve in the garden. Yea, hath God said, he caused doubt in Eve's mind as to what God has actually said, which caused Eve then to add to God's word. Oh, yeah, well, he said, we can't touch it or even look at it. That wasn't what God said. If Satan can cause us to doubt God's word, he can cause us to doubt God himself. And we burn so easily. But guess what? Sometimes, as those arrows fly towards us, we'll rationalize things. We'll justify certain sins. And we're good at justifying sin. We're better at justifying sin than a lost person is. And we should be more like Joseph, who flees in the opposite direction of sin, and yet we say, well, it's the way God made me. If God didn't want me to be so tempted about this thing, he would have made me differently. Shut up. It's ridiculous. The Bible says that God is, there's no temptation taken us whereby God will not provide a way of escape. But we justify it. And Satan loves it. We do 10,000 other things and try to justify them in countless ways. We gossip and then say, we're just concerned. Yeah, okay. People love gossip. Ooh. Guess what? Be careful when somebody says to you, I wanted to pray about something. Because that basically means, roll up your sleeves, you're going to gossip about somebody else. And we justify it. We do so many things and justify them in countless ways. Don't justify sin, because you're just going to get burnt by Satan's arrows. Use the shield of faith. The shield of faith is a simple trust in God. Taking him at his word. When we trust God, we can stand against the attacks of the enemy. The shield of faith is more than just a piece of armor to be taken out for our protection when needed. The shield of faith makes the Christian life possible. And I think that's why Paul said, above all, taking the shield of faith. You say, well, surely the helmet of salvation is more important, because that's salvation. Yeah, but he's talking about the Christian soldier. Already talking about the Christian soldier, so we've already been saved. If Satan can get us to doubt God, then that fiery dart has got through. Take the shield of faith. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The shield of faith. A simple, childlike faith in God. That's all. It doesn't mean that we have to understand every single word that God has in his scripture. It doesn't mean that we have to understand the plans of God. It doesn't mean we have to understand the ways of God. It simply means we have faith in him. The shield protects us. And like the Roman soldiers who were slain in battle, they were carried off the field on their shields. Guess what? The shield of faith will carry you home to glory. Having faith in Him. Do we stand protected by the shield of faith? Are we rooted and grounded? Are our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of the shoes of peace? Have we got the right kind of footwear on? The footwear that's been provided for us. Are we able to take that stand? Or are we just slipping and sliding through the Christian life? What is our walk like with the Lord? What is our race like for the Lord? What is our stand like for the Lord? The belt of truth stops us from tripping up, holds the breastplate in place. The breastplate protects our heart, talks about our positional righteousness with God and our practical righteousness in a lost and dying world. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, that talks about the fact that we can stand in the day of battle, that we're ready for the battle, that we have a walk with the Lord. And the shield of faith means that nothing the devil throws at us is going to get through. Because our faith is in God. And nothing the devil says or does should convince us otherwise. You've got the armour if you're saved. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal saviour, the armour is Christ. When we are saved, we put on Christ. The question is, are we taking up the armour of God? Are we using it effectively? Are we using it as we should? I'm thankful that the Lord doesn't leave us in the battle unprepared. That He's given us every item of equipment that we need to stand and fight and be victorious in the battles that we face every single day. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for this day and this time together. We thank You for the fact, Lord, that You've provided us all that we need to stand fast in the battles that we face. Father, I pray that You would help us, Lord. You know the hearts of your children here today, Lord. You know exactly what it is that they're facing, exactly what it is that is happening in their lives. You know the battles that they are facing, Lord. And I just pray that You would help them to utilize every piece of armor that You've given them. Help them, Lord, to stand fast in the battles that they face. And Father, I pray that You, through those battles, would increase their faith, would draw them ever closer to You. And Father, as a result, people would see the victory that they had in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that even through that, others might come to know Christ as their Savior. If there's one year today, Lord, it was yet to trust Christ as their Savior. May today be the day that they recognize the fact that they are unprepared for eternity. That they need to put their faith and trust in the one who died upon the cross to pay for their sins. And Father, I pray that if there's one year today that they would simply call upon the name of the Lord, repenting of their sins and putting their faith and trust in Christ. Father, I pray that You would help each and every one of us, Lord, in the days to come, that You would help us to stand fast and to stand firm, that we might bring You all the glory, the honor, and the praise, even in the battles that we face. For we ask it in Christ's most perfect and precious name. Amen.